Our scripture reading, Psalm 32. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is as we continue the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6. Pray then in this way, Our Father in heaven, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. We had some really delightful professors in seminary. They were all in their 60s and 70s. They'd seen every fad and theological thing come and go. And so while the new PhDs gave us, 25 books to read, they give us 3. But, really read these. These will help you. And we had one that we really loved. And so my husband, Scott, sent him a book that used Pooh Bear and his interaction with all the other characters in the Hundred Acre Wood, Piglet and Eeyore and Owl, to illustrate complicated philosophical concepts. And in fact, the book claimed that Pooh Bear was, in fact, the ultimate philosopher. And our professor, who taught philosophy and church history, wrote Scott a note after he'd read the book. In it, he thanked Scott for the book, and he said, "Now I understand everything." In much the same way, I think that Charles Schulz Peanuts gang are great thinkers. As usual, Charlie Brown and Lucy are having some serious discussion, and Lucy says, "Charlie Brown, we really shouldn't worry about tomorrow. We should only think about today." Of course, Charlie Brown sighs and says, "I'm still hoping yesterday will get better." Can anyone identify with Charlie Brown? Most psychologists will tell you that people who are carrying a burden of the past around, it tends to block us from having joy in the present. And recently, medical researchers started to see what effect faith might have on illness, and they discovered that if you carry into the present the burdens of the past, or if you focus on what someone did to you, especially if it seems clear you are the wronged party, so often an unforgiving attitude is translated into physical illness. So is there anyone here who needs to forgive? Or who needs to be forgiven or to accept or offer forgiveness? There is one word in the Lord's Prayer that can help us unlock the mystery of forgiveness. One word that is the pivot of the Lord's Prayer. And so much hangs on this word. It's a two-letter word. It is once a magnificent word as well as a scary word. It is a word that every time I pray the Lord's Prayer, I ask myself, do I really mean this or want to say this? And it's a word that if you take it seriously, it will stop you in your tracks. And the word is as. A-S, as. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive our debtors. Like in the same way. Do we want to invoke the power of this conditional statement every week and have God forgive us in the same way and to the same degree as we forgive others? Do you want to say that the way that we are forgiven is tied to the way we forgive others? That's what it says. What did Jesus mean by this teaching? Well, a big key to his thinking is in the verses that immediately follow the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. In it, Jesus says, "For if you forgive others their trespass, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Whoa. But before we despair, let's think about three key things to unlocking the mystery of forgiveness and to find a way out of the prison lack of forgiveness creates and get to freedom and joy. This is something that you should also know about the unmerited grace of forgiveness. Listen carefully. Forgiveness does not mean that what happened was okay. Forgiveness does not mean that what happened was okay. It means that you're not going to let whatever happened imprison you anymore. The first key to unlocking the mystery of forgiveness is to understand that we don't deserve God's ultimate forgiveness, but we get it free as an unmerited gift of God's grace. And no one, as St. Paul reminds us, is perfect enough to deserve it. No, not one. So often, instead of saying, well, this is my fault, or maybe I contributed to this situation somehow, we find it easier and more satisfying to blame someone else. And incredibly, we can elaborate in great detail the ways that others contributed to an unhappy event or outcome. But we are often too silent, even in our hearts and minds, about our part. We're very much like the middle school girl who got a terrible report card. I mean, she really did badly, and she was afraid to show it to her father. So finally, when her father was sitting down after dinner, sort of relaxed and everything, she came up and she showed him her report card. And he sort of sat there and said, "I really don't know what to say." And the girl finally broke the ice by saying, "Well, Dad, what do you think the problem is? Heredity or environment?" If you've ever been to a service where there are various Christian denominations present, it can be difficult to go through the Lord's Prayer because some of the people are saying debts and some people are saying trespasses and sometimes they're saying sin, and it sounds like that's like we're speaking in tongues. My early church influence was Episcopalian, and so we said trespass. However, Scott, my husband, has always been a Presbyterian and says debts. And I asked him why. Why do the Presbyterians say debts instead of trespasses? And he said it's due to the Scottish influence, because Scots would rather have their debts forgiven than their sins. But whatever the word we use, that's not the important thing. The main issue is, if we are preoccupied with how much someone else is sinning or how much they owe us, it's going to be difficult to forgive. We're going to concentrate on how much they don't deserve to be forgiven and miss that the whole point is that forgiveness is not deserved. It is a gift of grace, unmerited, undeserved. And we, as often stiff-necked people, so keen on others' failings, well, we don't often deserve forgiveness either. One theologian put it this way: when we will not forgive others, we destroy the bridge over which we ourselves must cross. There is a reciprocal relationship between giving and receiving forgiveness. If your heart is hardened by an unforgiving attitude, and sometimes these things take decades to get through, you know, oh, well, just forgive him, it'll just turn a switch. No, something's really hurt. But if you have that, you're not going to be open to receiving forgiveness, and it will make for a bitter, distrustful outlook on life and towards others. So the first key is that forgiveness is a free, unmerited gift of God's grace. The second key to unlocking the mystery of forgiveness is to understand that God makes the first move to reconciliation. Paul's letter to the Romans reminds us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us first and reached out to us in grace. And God is still the first one to move towards us in reconciliation. And this is phenomenally good news. You might recall that Ernest Hemingway wrote a novel in which a father and a son became estranged from each other. It is set in Madrid, Spain, and the father couldn't live with the break in their relationship, and so he put an ad into the local newspaper, and it said to his son, "Paco, meet me Tuesday at noon in the town square. All is forgiven. Love, Papa." And as the father, sort of trembling, approaches the town square on Tuesday, hoping to see his son, what he sees amazes him. Madrid is a big city. And not only does he see his son, but about 800 sons named Paco, a very common name, are there as well, each one hoping for the freedom and relief of forgiveness from their father. This is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. It is the sacrificial aspect of Jesus' death. How far will God go to show how much we are loved? All the way to death. You see, the authorities of Jesus' day did not like Jesus telling outcasts and people of the lower classes that they were loved. They didn't like being chastised for their prejudice and bigotry toward others. But even the threat of death would not keep Jesus quiet. And God raised him from the dead to vindicate his message and ministry. And it was all to others who would keep out others, and it was all for others who were being kept out and cast aside. Jesus tells us in word and deed that there is no us and them. There is only us. Maybe there are some Pacos out there within the sound of my voice, and God is saying, all is forgiven. Come home. Our sins are forgiven, and God has made the first move. So God has forgiven you. Now God wants you to get moving and forgive others. That means that you and I, modeling our lives on God in Christ, need to make the first move. Don't wait for the other person to get moving. You forgive first. Think of a large political gathering in our time, attended by all the movers and shakers. And then think how moved and shaken people would be if they all forgave each other as God has forgiven them. Think what it might mean for us, our country, our world. The third key to the mystery of forgiveness is that we are sent by God to be forgiving now. We are, as Paul says, ambassadors of reconciliation. Which again, does not mean that what happened was okay. Don't wait for someone else to do it. That's a sure sign that your faith is stale and your discipleship is fading. Whenever you say someone else can make the first move in a matter of faith, it's a pretty good sign that you're probably sitting down by the side of the road on your journey of faith, or maybe in danger of going backward. Let me give you an example of how forgiveness looks like in action. We often think about it in the micro sense, person to person, but it's also for the macro. The year was 1960. Good year. I was born that year. And the place was New Orleans, Louisiana. A federal judge had just ruled that the public schools in New Orleans, Louisiana must be desegregated. And in an elementary school in New Orleans, the door opened to admit African-American children. And a little six-year-old girl walked in on the first day. Reporters were there to record the actions of the adults who shouted racial slurs at this little child. Pretty brave and compassionate, shouting and threatening a six-year-old, isn't it? But they did, and little Ruby Bridges walked down the gauntlet of hate into her school as police officers held back shouting prosecutors. Robert Coles, a psychologist, interviewed Ruby after her terrifying day, and he asked her, he said, "I saw that as you were walking into the school that day, I noticed that your lips were moving. Ruby, what were you saying?" And she said, "I wasn't saying, I was praying." "Praying?" Coles asked. She said that she was praying, "Lord, forgive them, for that is what you did on the cross." If you ask Robert Coles why he's a Christian, he would tell you it's because of a little six-year-old girl in pigtails who incarnated what it really is to be a Christian. The people didn't deserve forgiveness, but she forgave them. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In a few minutes, God is going to send us out into a world that can be so broken at times, torn by war and conflict, where different ethnic groups are killing each other all over the world, where estranged families aren't speaking to each other, where different groups in society are turning their backs on each other. God sends us out to be the movers and shakers of the world, forgiving others, not because they deserve it, not because we're saying that what they did was okay, but because as Christ's disciples, as God followers, we are doing as God has done. We are to freely forgive as God has forgiven us. The reward for our obedience is freedom. Freedom from the pain lack of forgiveness brings us and others, and freedom to be open to the forgiveness that unshackles us from an unhappy yesterday. Amen.